This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Oceania, the vast Indo-Pacific oceans, with sovereign states, with some remained attached to their European sponsors, some connected intimately with the United States of America. We're going now to Palau because November 5th, 2024 is election day in the U.S. and in Palau. The campaigning there is similar to what we see in regions of the United States, people standing next to roadways with signs. However, the issue here is between the People's Republic of China looking to influence peddle all across the Pacific and the United States of America and its efforts under the Biden administration to connect to the people of Oceania. Let's begin with Palau. Cleo Pascal, who's been my guide and teacher on Oceania for many years. Cleo, a very good evening to you. Palau is associated with intimately with American history, combat, Second World War. At the same time, the photograph I'm looking, thanks to the Voice of America, looks like it's up to date in Palau. There's a campaign on. What are the issues for Palau right now? Is China part of it? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes, we're actually 80 years ago today was right in the midst of the Battle of Peleliu, which was one of the kind of very horrific, I mean, they're all horrific, but just appalling battles in World War II in Palau. And currently, the Marines have been rehabilitating the old Peleliu airfield, which gives you an idea of how these countries have reemerged into the American strategic defense architecture mindset. Palau is a country that recognizes Taiwan. It's just the other side of the Philippines. It has a compact of free association with the U.S. So, yes, it's an independent country. There are all these linkages with the U.S., though. The U.S. Postal Service considers them domestic mail. People from Palau can live and work in the U.S. They serve in the U.S. military at very high rates. It's as Reagan described it initially, it's a familial relationship, very close. And while the U.S. strategists are looking very much at China, the Palauan voters, like many American voters, are looking at, you know, about things like there's been an influx of drugs into the community. There's a lot of concern around that. There's a out-migration of the young people. There's been a spike in crime. There's a new tax system. So all of the kind of nitty-gritty of daily life is what they're speaking about mostly. But at the same time, you have this, not only is the U.S. watching this election, but so is China. And you're starting to see in the media reflections of Chinese narratives about how the U.S. is militarizing the islands, or you know, that they're losing their sovereignty through the relationship with the U.S., even though the relationship was a decision by the Palauan people done through multiple referenda and is entirely voluntary. So you're seeing a kind of a political warfare battle going on in large part from the Chinese side, in fact, through proxies to try to get Palauans to question their relationship with the U.S. And it's really kind of becoming quite intense, even though the Palauans just want, like everybody else, safe communities, a viable economy, and a life that where the kids can go to school and their parents can get good health care.
I read in the National Review Online an essay by a young scholar at the Heritage Foundation, Andrew Harding, that the Biden administration has a Pacific partnership strategy, and that's the first ever national public U.S. strategy for the islands. That was released in 2022. How's it doing, and what does it describe?
So it's a little bit vague, and a lot of it goes through organizations like the Pacific Island Forum. But what we're starting to see, and this is new, this is breaking some news here, Another thing that's very important to the locals is combating illegal fishing. And the Coast Guard, U.S. Coast Guard, has been very involved in trying to help. But of course, they're drastically under-equipped. I mean, there's kind of barely half a dozen ships to patrol a size of the United States. And so somebody was saying it's like, you know, having six police cars to patrol the U.S. going 30 miles an hour. But even given that, in the case of Palau, they've identified over 100 fish aggregation devices which can be used for illegal fisheries. These are devices that get dropped, they attract the fish, and then the illegal fishermen come and drop nets and scoop up everything indiscriminately. So it kills pretty much everything that it catches. And this is a very concrete example of how collaboration with the U.S., which is being framed by the Chinese as militarizing, actually is helping do things that the locals want and need, like combat illegal fisheries.
And other islands in the Oceania you've instructed me on are in close contention, the Marshall Islands certainly. I read from Andrew Harding's essay, however, that 2 years ago, the U.S. indicated, I believe the vice president was involved, in building an embassy in Kiribati, but it's not been built. Is there a reason for that?
Yes. Yeah, so there, one of the things that Congress was quite supportive of and insistent on was the reestablishment establishment of U.S. embassies in the region. So, for example, in the Solomon Islands, which was the site of the Battle of Guadalcanal, the U.S. closed its embassy in the early 90s, and it has recently reopened it, but it doesn't have consular services. So you really need to it doesn't have an ambassador either. Need to say, okay, is there an actual physical location that says it's an embassy, but also what is it delivering? In the case of Kiribati is a country that recognized Taiwan until 2019, and like Solomon Islands, switched to China until in 2019. And I suspect that there's some Chinese pressure involved in slow rolling the opening of that U.S. embassy. I suspect proxies or China-affiliated elements within the e-Kiribati government are not encouraging the establishment of the U.S. embassy. And we're seeing that in other areas as well. There are certain locations where, for example, it's difficult to get the U.S. Peace Corps to go back, even though the local population really likes it and the U.S. is willing to do it. At least one country that's drifting into China's orbit, those are blocking it. Because from a Chinese perspective, they don't want the country to do well. They don't want it to be independent and happy and thriving. They want it to be economically dependent on China. So anything the U.S. tries to do that is good and helpful, trying to build, will have a malign influence to try to block it. So, you know, all of these good initiatives that the U.S. does will be seen as a threat by the PRC and needs to have a blocking mechanism in order to be able to protect them as they help the locals build up their independence and sovereignty.
If I read Andrew Harding's essay correctly, no sitting U.S. president has ever visited a Pacific Island country. However, what needs to be done is the American people need to be apprised of what's at risk. Are they? Is this well communicated to the voters?
I think not so much. Mr. Harding makes a very good point, and it's great to see young researchers taking on the topic and bringing a new view to this critical area. He also put out quite a comprehensive report on the region, which I'd recommend people take a look at. It's a valiant effort in a huge topic. I think that, you know, when a lot of these relationships were set up, like the Compacts of Free Association with Palau, Marshall Islands, Federated States of Micronesia, there were quite a few people in U.S. Congress who had served in the Pacific or who had friends who had fought and perhaps not made it through the war in the Pacific. And so they understood the importance of the geography, and they were also grateful to the people of the region. I mean, two Solomon Islanders saved the life of John F. Kennedy, for example. So that linkage between the Pacific Islands and people sitting in Congress was very strong. And I think as that generation isn't there anymore, to explain that. A new understanding or a new way of understanding needs to be, as Mr. Harding expressed, used to get people to understand the legacy of the relationship, the depth of the relationship, and the importance of the relationship.
And Cleo, 30 seconds. If I gave you an unlimited budget, what would you do with in 2025? There will be a new administration.
I would go after the corruption across the region. I would set Treasury and forensic accountants and prosecutors to help support the people of the region who want to go after the corruption in their own areas. And if the corruption coming out of a place like Solomon Islands passed through the banking system, I would go after them there. The corruption is what allows that Chinese influence to go in and spread and distort the society and bring in the drugs and the gambling and the prostitution and make it very, very difficult for the locals to be able to have this sort of safe environment that they not only want, but they deserve.
Cleo Pascal, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.